Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We greet our listening audience with a very happy and sincere Ramadan Mubarak. Peace and blessings to you all. Blessed month of Ramadan. We are moving on through the Ramadan past the middle of the month. Alhamdulillah, we're moving on to the destiny, completing this month of sacrifice and reaching that return to the original fitra, the original pattern that our Creator created us for, the life He created us for, renewing the life. And you know, Ramadan, make no mistake about it, is a period of time, a period of renewal. The fact that it's in the ninth month, the same month as the baby has completion of in the womb, it's not a coincidence. This is a period of renewal, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, said if we complete the month with diligence, obedience, and taqwa, God consciousness, that we come out with all of our previous sins forgiven. We're being wiped clean. That's the human conscience. Our conscience should be clean. We should be done repented and made tawbah in our prayers and worship, and reinvigorated our connection with faith in our Creator's ability to pardon us for our mistakes and lack of proper behavior, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and be renewed as a people, as a person and individuals. And we pray that it also comes to us as a community renew, that we have a renewal of the spirit in our community. So we've been talking about how the powerful concept of CM fasting produces positive consequences. And we issued a challenge to our non-Muslim listeners who are out there to try this in the spirit of improving your human worth, human character, and human worth as an individual. Try fasting with a sincere expectation that the Creator of the universe will aid you in making you a better person. That's one of the, this is what taqwa is, really. We are conscious of our Creator, our Lord and Creator, and how He has created us, and we don't want to displease our Creator with our bad behavior, lack of good ethical principles behavior. So welcome again to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, and we've been talking about how Ramadan prepares us to make it in the Land of Plenty. You know, but you know, we have concepts in our religion, even for that, when we look at the Juma, where Allah invites us to leave off business and trade and come to the remembrance of Allah once a week. Once a week, once every week, we are encouraged to leave off the focus of getting money and survival skills and come to the remembrance of Allah, who has created all of the things we need to survive, and also has made it available for us, he has subjected it. According to the Quran, He has subjected the sun, the moon, all the things in the space, in the air, earth, water, everything to our use. And it's under the command to give up its utility. It has to give it up. If we go fishing and do it in an excellent, thought-out way, the fish has to come and give itself up. All of it, all of the creation is under the command to serve Allah's human creation. So it's a wonderful, wonderful way of looking at this world. And this should improve our enthusiasm and our excitement about the potential that Allah has created for us. So we want to just look briefly at how Ramadan helps us to achieve that, and then we want to circle back to this sacred unity. You know, we were observing this particular month of Ramadan, this year in Ramadan, everybody started the same day. This was a first time I think I've seen this unity, I could easily say 20 years, you know, that where all of us started on the same day, and inshallah we'll finish on the same day. I think that's a remarkable sign that Allah is working to help us to unite our lives as believers in Allah. There's a sign in this that we are united in this effort. So we want to dwell on that sacred unity that the Imam requested of us, that we need to dwell on a philosophy for life in a sacred unity. And he addressed He used that type of language, that this unity should be seen as a sacred matter, not something that we take lightly. So, Professor Rabbani, I didn't get to chat with you earlier today, but if you are with us, please chime in and share some thoughts on these topics with us.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak to you as well. Alhamdulillah.
Bismillah, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We witness that God is one, having no partners or associates for the rule of this creation, which is the all that is in the heavens and the earth and all that's in between. And we thank Allah for our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, his family and companions. And we also thank Allah for our leadership here in America and our association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Ahim Alay, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sister Clara Muhammad, and Professor Farad Muhammad. May Allah forgive them their past sins and grant them the highest level of paradise. Amen. So we are dealing with Ramadan, and the two essential points that I think that it reflects is sacrifice and discipline. Those two things, sacrifice and discipline. And we look at how Imam Muhammad talked about, you know, you have to sacrifice those things that are that you love, and how you discipline yourself to practice the things that develop your mind, your heart, your physical body, and your spiritual body. So we grow out of the earth. That's our first growth. So we are influenced more by appetites in the beginning of our development, and as we grow, we should grow from the physical, the earth, like Allah created Adam, into a spiritual life, which we always had, but to make it conscious, and this is the this is one of the disciplines that you get during Ramadan, is that spiritual consciousness opens up avenues that you never thought of or never saw coming. And this is the great element in that sacrifice and that discipline that Ramadan begins to unfold as every period of the fast, three sections of the fast, first 10 days, second 10 days, and the last 10 days. They are three levels of development within the Ramadan, as it is in our life. We have three stages of darkness. We come out of the darkness into the light. That's three stages. And the sacrifice in al-Islam is usually a sacrifice of a community type animal, like a sheep or a goat, or a sheep, a cow, goats. These are the best sacrifices because of the nature of their community life. And we are disciplined not to eat that sacrificed meat until sunset. Or one of the disciplines is to take that take part of it and to share it with the community life. The community life of what that particular animal represents is community life. So those are the two basic things I can go on about how it reflects in one of the Quranic surahs, surah of the cave. There's a great relationship of what's going on today in our society, in American society, with the relationship of what we're doing in Ramadan and how to solve a lot of the problems in America, present-day America, with Ramadan. If we look at Ramadan and see the value in Ramadan, we can solve these internal problems that America is being confronted with now.
Yeah, especially inflation. Boy, you don't have much garbage in your can during Ramadan. Yeah, you're that. Thank you, Professor. And, you know, when you were speaking and you were talking about sacrifice, I was reminded of the ayat in the Quran where Allah says, never will you obtain felicity, a happy state, a peaceful state, a prosperous state, until you spend freely of the things you love. You know, and most times when we get ready to give away something, we don't want it anymore. It's no more use to us, so we want to get rid of it. But this is an invitation from our Creator that we should try to spend some of the things we really love and appreciate, that we will share those things with others. So this idea of sacrifice is very powerful, as you mentioned. Sacrifice has brought that Quranic verse to my mind. Michael, please share with us some concerns you might have on this topic as we're moving forward. For this sacred unity, I want to definitely circle back and address this need and also the importance of that sacred unity. But share whatever thing you would like to share with us on the topic. We got a couple of good topics moving in.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak to one and all.
Yes, sir.
What comes to my mind is getting greater utility, greater usefulness out of Ramadan. There has been a kind of a movement to not just acknowledge Black history and sports figures and entertainment figures and so forth, but Imam Muhammad really has inspired us to get greater utility out of individuals and events in our past. So I'm thinking, likewise, we should get greater utility out of Ramadan. Imam Muhammad, he's left us with a large amount, a tremendous amount of documented institutional memory. I'm thinking something that I'm more focused on now more than ever, that strategically we should utilize our resources. And I'm thinking of our resources in terms of five areas. I learned this from a brother whose job in the military was tactical logistics. He was a logistical manager, and he identified four areas: manpower, material, money, time, and space. Now, Allah has given us the space and time. It comes from Him. And how we manage our space and time really kind of gives us a focus on how well we're living a balanced life and an established life, a progressive and productive life. And the others, you know, are more in our hands, you know, how we manage our manpower, the material assets that we have, and our money. But I'm thinking in terms of Ramadan, you know, how do we get more out of ourselves? Our past history is one that there was in the 1800s, there was a Negro convention movement where individuals and notable leaders like Marcus Garvey and those who owned and operated newspapers or vehicle communications vehicles, generally in that time it was printed information. But they came together to deal with the issues of African Americans as a group. The oppression in the South was such that they saw it necessary to come together to meet to identify areas of the country that were more hospitable to their growth and production as human beings. And Imam Muhammad suggested to us that whenever we meet, we should take the time, the businessmen and women should take the time to come together, those dealing with culture, those dealing with government, should take the time out of any event that brings us together to meet based on those four elements, you know, and to strategize. It's very important, and we saw this with the Negro Convention Movement. It's very important for us as a group to have a strategy. And a part of what you've been sharing with us, Imam DeLacy, is this this philosophical focus on unity, not just unity, but a sacred unity, is essentially important, especially important. Critically important, and I'll stop there.
Yes, thank you for that, Imam. And you know this, and I'm sharing Imam Muhammad's request. He said, this was a request. He said, due to the traumatic circumstances that we've endured as a people that have displaced us and caused trauma in our lives, that we need to look at a philosophy for life and dwell on it in a sacred unity. Part of matters. And as you mentioned, the institutional memory that he has left with us really gives us the basis for establishing those things, even with the Fulbright concept or the full concept,
yes,
education, business, economics, business and economics. I like to look at them together, culture and governance. And I like governance to be like what Professor Rabbani mentioned, discipline. What about the discipline that it takes to govern your life? That comes in this month, this discipline that's developed in this month to govern your life and take it to a better, more positive situation for family and community.
And Imam,
we are definitely hurting on the community level. So go ahead, Michael.
We left out, and I think this it may be critical for us to remember. Four birds represent aspirations, but in that Quranic reference, that picture, that narrative, the four birds were connected with mountains, which represent establishment. And I think we need to bring those two back together again, the birds and the aspirations and the establishment. Thank you for that.
So, Professor Rabbani, we back to you a minute, and then we'll go on our break. We'll take a break, but share with us something that you might have on your mind concerning this sacred unity. And, you know, I was listening to the earlier address part. I didn't catch everything, but I was listening to Imam Kareem's program where the Imam was talking about how the religion, if we compare the religions and put them on a comparison, which religion would be more suitable for our condition that will bring us to a more productive life? And no doubt, Islam, when you start looking at the five principles and how they prepare us for success, it's just no comparison. That was the main thing that really impressed me about the religion of Islam, is that it had these principles, five principles, that They're practice, principles of practice as an obligation on you to practice them. And that's the Tawheed, the oneness of God and his prophet, prayer, regular prayer 5 times a day, and Zakat, 2.5% of your income, which remains with you after a certain sum. And then fasting, the month of Ramadan, which was so impressive to me and so helpful to me. And then the concept of the Hajj, the pilgrimage of where all humanity coming together on one, as one particular, one unity, one unit in obedience to a creator who has created us all. What powerful concepts this religion brings to the table. So, Professor, please share some thoughts on it, if you would, and share with us anything you would like to present.
Yes, that what Michael mentioned, the establishments, those found the four birds and four established areas, mountains, as it's referred to. But and then of course, bringing them together, as Imam mentioned, to Imam Muhammad mentioned, concerning the bringing up of together those of like minds for a specific operation, like Michael said about the logistics, the brother who's logistics. Logistics, you can't do it. You can't fight you can't jihad. You can't fight a war without logistics. You can't. And you can see that happening in the conflict that's occurring in Eastern Europe. The biggest problem they have is logistics. Mm-hmm. So the idea, and then when we look at how our community, our country, is taking on a position of leadership that's sheepish, artificial humanism that's sheepish, and you want to solve that problem, look into our religion. Look into the Abrahamic religions. But take al-Islam, and it's an excellent representation, Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, and our association of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and then apply the techniques that are already found in other religions of Judaism, Christianity, and al-Islam, and apply it to the situations in the life of the people in America. And you will find out that the leadership in America has become sheepish. Leadership in government and all of these four areas, they become sheepish. And they don't have enough stamina to deal with the problems. And they have to understand that Almighty God gave America blessings. Like, yeah. if you read that chapter called the Cave or Al-Kahf, you'll find that there are two men who were given gardens. And they boasted, you know, about the benefits and the their operation and how they were, you know, it was focused in on what they did rather than the blessings that Almighty God had established. So if you read that chapter, is so powerful about, and it reflects on what is happening today in America. And the solutions for the disruption and the division that is occurring in our government, our family life, if we have a family, that's one of the things we don't have. But now we have a lack of family and a father figure, a leader. Father means leader. So these are some things when we look at Ramadan, it should reinforce our vigor to establish a sacred unity. You unifying the family, the community, and the nation through the practicing of Ramadan and its rituals. So that's
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good place for us to take a break and chew on this information here for a minute, and as we visit our public service announcement, and you know, we still have our telethon going on for this month of Ramadan, so let's all be reminded to give generously to CWSC.us and hit the blue button and donate. So, Michael, let's not touch the dial, and we'll be back in a while as we visit our PSA.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Khalida Akbar, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. Thank you for supporting the CWSC Annual End of Year Telethon to help us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. We are believer supported. Take a moment now and help us reach our $10,000 goal by making your tax-deductible contribution at CWSC.us. Click on the blue donate button located at the top right of our homepage to make a convenient, safe, and secure contribution online in whatever amount is comfortable for you. It's not the size of the contribution, but it is each of us doing our part to the best of our ability. You can make a one-time or recurring contribution, which enables us to better forecast our operating revenue, and know we have your support each month to maintain and expand our operations. If you have any difficulty at all making your gift, please call us at 910-317-0297. A representative will be happy to assist. You can also go to paypal.com to make a payment by credit card to CWSC. Our most popular reoccurring gift level is just $9.99 a month or 33 cents a day. It's a small individual amount based on all of us doing our part to ensure our intelligentsia is strong and ready to remake the world. A recurring contribution means the monthly amount is automatically deducted from your designated account to CWSC. You can cancel it anytime. Of course, while your contributions are tax deductible, it is the multiplied blessings of charity, especially during this month, that give the greatest rewards for our generosity. You can also call in your gift by phone at 910-317-0297. Include your name, telephone, and email, and a representative will assist you with making your contribution. You can also mail it in. If you make your check out to CWSC, you can mail it to CWSC Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A, Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E, 4905 34th Street, South, number sign, 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Together, we can remake this world into a better place for all people.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful PSA. Wonderful, done very, very well. Sister Khalida did an excellent job there for the telethon. And, you know, I was reflecting on remaking the world. You know, when I first came into religious institution we had at that time, we call it the mosque. It, in 1976, it's actually fading a little earlier, but in 1976, after the imam came into leadership, we had on the sign, when I walked into the room, the first thing I saw was remake the world. You know, and Lord, what a powerful concept to hit your mind. And we all knew that there was, as the professor mentioned earlier, about the sheepishness of the government, and he didn't mention the dishonesty and of the and hypocritical support for criminality and injustice that we see going on in the government so much so today. You know, even we saw just recently that two congressmen put out of the Tennessee House, you know, just throw them out. They say they're going to be, the county going to reappoint them back in there probably by Monday or so. But, you know, it's not going to work. And these young men, 28 year olds, taking their shot at providing leadership, and it's being, you know, because they don't want to hear about gun violence and gun controls and anything to do with assault weapons is the main thrust. You know, these weapons blowing people apart, weapons of war in the hands of people who are mentally deranged, you know, and it's just causing so much havoc. But so the dishonesty and the truthfulness and trustworthiness, something we speak a lot about on this program, is nowhere to be found in our government. You know, Ronald B. Shaheed wrote a book, Attaining the Ethical Society. Obtaining the ethical society. How do we get a better life? You know, and this is something that with discipline, the discipline of practicing this deen, practicing this way of life that we call Islam, brings that discipline to order your life in a more positive way. And as we focus on our I like that term, Michael, you used, intellectual memory that Imam Muhammad has shared with us. As we focus on his focus for providing that, the inspiration for that life, dwelling on it in a sacred unity, that we're not going to back off of this. It's not going to be something we're going to let go. That we need that unified effort to reach these goals that we are, higher goals that we are talking about, remaking the world. For an individual, that's more for a community of conscious people, God-fearing people, people who believe in the created excellence of our creation to achieve. And you know, in the religion, the practices of Islam, five prayers, praying them, discipline of five prayers, the discipline of fasting, Ramadan, the disciplines of being conscious of the needs of others, all of that goes into building the life that our Creator wanted, has ordained for us, has prescribed for us. So, Michael, do we have any callers in the queue or anybody want to make a contribution to the program at this time? We would entertain them, and we'll continue on with this topic of this need for sacred unity. And the earlier program brought about those concepts, AMCOT and CPC. And because we had some disappointments there, those are great ideas that can work for us. And we need to maybe even think about circling back and see how we can implement them on a level that's manageable and not won't get out of hand.
We invite the callers to press 1. There are a number of phone numbers that I recognize in the queue in the on the switchboard. Yes, we have a caller here. 914-434. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
914-434.
Oh, yeah. This is Muhammad Sharif calling from Mount Vernon, New York. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah.
Well, alaikum assalam.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Oh,
Welcome, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Yeah, we spoke on, I got on the call a little while ago. But anyway, some of the comments that are being made in reference to, we spoke about the mentioned Negro Convention. And along those lines, I was looking at the book, The Negro Market. I don't know if you had received any of that set of books that comes out of she had Shahid Abdullah, advertising for a few months now, or a set of four books, and one of them is The Negro Market. And that tells a lot about what our community had done as a people right after the Wall Street destruction, bombing. Mm-hmm. We bounced back on that. I mean, we did tremendous work right about 4 years after that bombing situation. Now, The Negro Market, if you get that book, you see all the things that we accomplished as a people 4 months after, 4 years after that. It's called The Negro Market.
Mm-hmm. And Mommy, there's a question, if I could ask you a question and share with us. I think I've heard Brother Shahid talk about this as well, about how productive we were during that time, and how does it compare now? How could you reference that with where we are now in terms of that particular development stage, et cetera?
Well, in comparison to now, I don't want to put a negative on the situation, but we are looking very, very bad. I mean, we are looking terrible compared to what they did right after the massacre. I mean, you got all kind of institutions that we built about our schools and hospitals. I mean, so much. Once you get that book, you see it puts us to shame. Sometimes I hear people saying about the Negro. I say to myself, you know what? The Negro did a lot more than we did. I'm speaking right to the Muslim right now. All we had since 1930 in 80-some years, and look at our situation now. I mean, our old neighborhoods, we don't have any businesses. We all know that. In our neighborhoods. I mean, we just sold out to everybody, controlling everything that we have. And the Negro, they did a bunch. I mean, looking back with the civil rights with Martin Luther King, and we did with the marching and all of that going across the Pettus Bridge in Alabama. The dogs would sit on us, and they would have to put our people in prison. I mean, we're looking terrible compared to what the Negro did in those years.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mommy, for sharing. Appreciate it so much.
You're quite welcome. Quite welcome.
Yeah. So, Professor,
I want to say, if I had a couple more minutes, and that is a reference to.
Go ahead. Please do.
What we can do, what we should be doing, what we can do as a community. This is why we're so stressed so much during Nation Islam. We know we had there. That was the nation. We're building a nation within a nation. But then Imam Muhammad came to leadership. He brought us into community life. Prophet Muhammad and community. And what we could do as a community, I was just looking at the program of a few months ago on the Mosque Hill Space Sunday. And they spoke about the AMCOP and brought up slum nutrition and CCP, the Collective Presidents Conference. And just like this, back and forth going between the presenter and the host there. And Wadeen Muhammad said, he just said, brother, you mentioned CPC. He said, we can do that again, easy. He said, 500 people with $2,000, that's $1 million. Brother, a light went on in my head. I hadn't thought about that way. I guess maybe other people hadn't thought about it, but it just came out. Only 500 people with $2,000 each, that's $1 million. As a group, as a community, we could do that. We could raise $1 million a day. Remember, some of our areas where we live, right out home, the housing development, some of these high-rise buildings or gated communities, I mean, you got 500 people right there And most likely some of you have $200,000 in that savings account. Some say, oh, yeah, I'm a businessman. You know, I have to keep a lot of money in my account. You know, as a business person, I got over $2,000 in my checking account just sitting there, you know. And obviously, when we just come together, and now we got 200 members of our family. So I just like to borrow some money for y'all. I need $2,000. Oh, yeah, Daddy or Mama. So I got $2,000. We'll come up, the four of us, we get $500 each. So you got your $2,000. I mean, that's,
yeah.
I just thought about that's $1 million right out of fingertips. That means we can almost raise $1 million a day. You know?
Yes. Yeah. You know,
right,
I heard you mention that on Imam Bayard's program, by the way, Muhammad. I heard Imam Bayard say, and what we gonna do with it? Where's the plan for that money? So we gotta have a plan,
you know,
for that money now. How we gonna use it? What we gonna do with it? Yeah.
Well, you the thought comes first. It's the idea and thought. Of
We appreciate it.
You know,
there's another brother, by the way, it's only fair to mention Bilal out of Philadelphia. He has a program where he's trying to get $1,000 from a 1,000 people, I think, for that halal industry program he's doing, you know. I'm not sure of the progress for that. But, you know, and I think he does have a plan that's written out of how he's going to use that money. But, alhamdulillah, you know, thank you so much for sharing, and we appreciate it very much.
Yeah, you're quite welcome.
Yeah. So, Michael, do you have any other callers in queue?
No, and we got a lot of folks that know how to share. Oh, the switchboard is large, but
Professor, you have some comments on about this concept. I like your thinking on this. You know, how do we unite? Because we're talking about unity and what it takes to get us to that point where we can overcome the trauma that we've experienced trying to work together, and how can we be resilient to make a comeback? You know, get up like a fighter, get knocked down and get back up. Share with us some thoughts you may have on how this unity can be promoted into a productive result. Professor Rabbani, are you there?
Yes. Well, I the first thought that I can, that come to my mind, you know, everybody has things that they probably could bring to the table to say, well, okay, I can use this money and buy a bulk load of this product, and then distribute it to those who invested or to have not only that, but to have, before you start, a commitment or contract with a government entity to purchase whatever you bring. They request a certain product, and we will provide that product on this date for this amount of for this unit price. And that money would be immediately put in escrow. And then the product is bought, product is released, and the escrow money is released into the account. That's a mechanical thing. But the thing is to overcome doubt, to overcome suspicion. And see, this is the thing that we were talking about when we talk about a credit union. Now, the credit union is backed up by the federal government. It's a federal government credit union where you could operate with this money safely, and yet put it have you can develop the market product with ease because you have a backing of the federal government to protect your money through a credit union. You see, so this is something that will give ease to those who have doubt about the veracity of the people that are operating in our community, and it will also attract people from outside our community to easily invest because we have people who are lining up, waiting for the credit union to occur that have millions of dollars lined up, already committed. When we get it, they will put their money in that credit union. And that credit union is supported and protected by FDIC.
Yes, yes. Thank
you
for sharing
that.
Go ahead. If you have more to add, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it. And then the ideas of business can be hatched and developed because, for instance, you want to buy a car. You could buy a car through the credit union. You buy you buy it through some other credit establishment, a house, you know. So all of these things are available, and instead of paying them, pay the credit union.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful reminder for us of the importance of that credit union, and we need to pray and ask Allah to help the psyche develop to where we want to complete what we start and finish, be finishers. You know, there's they have this concept in network marketing. I'm sure Muhammad is aware of it. You know, they will get you on the line, and they try to do it even in this marketing here where they're going to connect you with the finisher. You know, they have somebody first introduce the idea, and then they have someone to come on that's going to motivate you to hit that blue button, so to speak, to put that money on the line, you know. And I think we need to concentrate more on finishing what we start. Don't stop in halfway on along the line because we run across a disappointment or we are discouraged. No, let's dig down deep and make that final. I remember I was coaching basketball once. I had a little player. He wasn't really that big a person, but he was aggressive. And you know, whenever we would get in trouble, I would call him. I'd say, "Man," we call him man. Take it to the hoop. Take it to the hoop. I get him the ball. You know,
take it on home.
So we gotta finish. We gotta be finishers, and we shouldn't be having to have someone to motivate us to finish. No, Allah is we are going to the destiny. That's where we want. That's where we are going. The Imam said we are seeking the fountain of abundance, and
right.
He said we may not know what it is, but when we get to it, we'll recognize. We have to be in the struggle. We have to be in the struggle. So, Michael, any comments you'd like to share? Michael, are you on mute?
Yes, sir, I am. We've got another caller, 77. Well, we've got two callers now.
Okay.
But
let's,
would you like
let's to go to our caller?
We could find, okay. All right.
Let's go to one our caller, then we'll take a break and come back to the other one.
All right. 779, welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
779, are you on mute? Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam.
Hashim Kamau from Rockville, Illinois.
Yes,
about the money. A lot tells us in the Quran to eat meat that's the name is pronounced on it. And we know that the joints of the meat that we eat, a lot of names are not pronounced on it. And I knew a brother used to go down to different factories where they produced a lab meat, used to go to these different factories and inspect the meat to make sure it was halal. That's been probably 20 years ago. I don't know if they're doing it now or not. But as far as money go, a lot of them already put it in place for us to make billions of dollars. That's the name being pronounced on it. So therefore, we got, I know many Muslim brothers, they don't know how to slaughter, no problem. African Americans, we've been slaughtering since we've been in this country. We took, 40, 50, 100 years ago. We probably don't do it no more. But that's right there, market. Automatically, we got a lot of best this country of the world now with air-conditioned free trucks and transporting meat and stuff in the warehouses and restaurants, and that's a $1 trillion market right there. We meet a lot of names and nothing. A lot of that Quashinui with my name pronounced. Yes, Quashinui. So a lot of you look at what a lot say in pursue that avenue, it's already up in places like that.
Yes, sir.
So that's my comment, brother. We just don't do what a lot say do. We're always talking, but we don't back it up. Like you say, we don't back it up with nothing. That's a $1 trillion market right there, bro.
Yes, sir.
All right, come like him, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yes, so let's take a quick break, and then we're going to get our other caller. The caller don't go nowhere. We're going to take a break and give you a little more time to address what you would like to share with us. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, American Muslim 360. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference and AM 360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Yes. So, we'll be back. Michael, let's get our other call in. Call us, state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty.
They went out of the queue, but I'd like to make a comment. The brother mentioned what we have available in terms of producing great amounts of money. But what we talk about often is the need for trust. You mentioned, Brother Imam, trauma situations. And oftentimes, the effect of trauma will cause us to be static, not being able to move. Also affecting our view of the world in terms of managing our life. And many people that go through certain experiences of trust being affected, they lose the team spirit. They're not comfortable unless they're in charge, unless they have control, because the giving up of control by way of trust has hurt them deeply. So we got to understand some of these things that
have affected us. Even go all the way back to the Freedmen's Movement, there was an economic component to the Freedmen's Movement, which was after slavery, Reconstruction days. And we invested monies. You know, there used to be a pennies bank in Washington, D.C., operated by African Americans. And that wasn't the only place. There were other places like that where we invested our pennies. But what happened was, after President Lincoln passed away and President Johnson came into office, things started moving towards a spirit of corruption in the land, and monies that were invested for the freed slaves were stolen. You know, bottom line, it was just stolen out of the accounts, and they were carpetbagger minded individuals, Caucasians from the north, primarily, that were greedy and selfish, and they saw a way to take advantage of this Freedmen's Movement, you know. And then, you know, you had the attacks on different locations. I was just reading something. Many of us don't know that after the Tulsa, Oklahoma community being destroyed, the population started to rebuild and to regain some of that active life. But there's much that we don't know. But lastly, I'd just like to say, in the sports world in particular, and in other places, you know, there are entrepreneurs, there are financial people that understand, when you understand the principles of success, when you understand the principles of making money and being productive, then when you take a loss, you can get that back. Something may happen cataclysmic or unforeseen where you lose, but you learn from the loss and you institute that into your rebuilding. And if we can ever get that spirit where we can learn from our losses and learn how to greater protect our interests, we will be unstoppable.
Yes, I agree. And I appreciate Professor talking about the credit union. That's a great start for us to know that we can put this our money in an institution that will work on our behalf and work to build our community life. That's such an important step that can be taken. And as he mentioned, the money being insured. If you looked at the banking situation that happened out in California, and the electronic area out there with
Silicon Valley,
where the government immediately went in and started ensuring that money was safe and that the people didn't have to worry because about their money, to prevent a drawdown on the banking system, which would bankrupt any bank if you just all of a sudden have every depositor demanding their money. You'd be surprised that money's in so many different areas. If you get a rush on the banks, they don't have that money available to give everyone right away. They're going to have to close the door. So the government does ensure, for that reason, they insure deposits. FDA insured deposits up to $250,000, I think, is the limit. But alhamdulillah, we have any callers in the queue, Michael? If not, I'm going to circle back to the professor, let him share. And how's our time? Michael, are you muted?
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
I was
checking on our callers, and I wanted to circle back to the professor, but inshallah. And I also our time, how are we looking?
Yeah, we're a little over.
We're about 6 minutes over, and I was talking with Sister Martha on the time of the 50-year human family plan, and it's today right after we conclude.
So okay, so we need to go ahead and wrap this up, Professor. Give us some final comments, and we'll wrap up our program. I apologize to Sister Martha for going a little bit over into our program, but you know, this is part of that 50-year family planning, this economic piece. We got to get this together. We have to get this together. So, Professor, share with us the final comments, please.
Well, just to reflect back on in reference to discipline in Ramadan and sacrifice, and to glean on the reflections of what's happening in our society now with all of the sheepish leadership and the ungrateful citizens that have so much more than all of the other countries. Many, 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 many countries have, and the people in those countries. And we are this is a time to be grateful for what Allah has blessed this country with. And the people need to realize this and to understand that this wasn't the first rodeo. This is not the first rodeo where people had been given blessings and have misused and obliterated the blessings that they were given by God, and God took it away. And if you see that, you can see that the blessings that God is, and we always talk about God bless America. When you insert God in your language, God is obligated to respond. And every time they say, and God bless America, well, you are going to see with all of the classic, the look at the environment. You got tornadoes, you got floods, you got droughts, you got the diseases, you got viruses. You don't see that the Almighty God is giving you a prescription to change your life and to change your mind and to be and to stand up on your two feet, that and stop being sheepish and stop lying, and the people accept your lies. You cannot accept lies and then you establish law and don't want to enforce the law. It's only selective. So you are that's a formula for a community or a nation to be self-destructive. When you can't enforce the law. So that's about the, in terms of Ramadan. The force field of Ramadan to give us the energy to combat these ills.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. And certainly when you include Allah, God, in your language, then God stands ready to answer. Yeah. And Allah says he has created this world for justice, for
justice.
Yeah. It everything has to end in justice. So thank you, Professor. Thank you so much. Michael, any final comments? And we got to get out of here, I know. So I'm apologizing again for this delay.
Sister Martha is in the host seat now, and I thank the audience for joining us. Join us next week, and thank you both, Professor.
Yeah. Peace and blessings, everyone. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak, you, Sister Martha, please.
Ramadan Mubarak, and you all didn't have to leave. You made the comment. This is part of the 50-year human family planning. And as I come in the door, greeting everyone, the greetings of peace. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ta'ahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, openly declaring Allah is the one God. There are absolutely no partners with Allah. and Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Allah. And I'd like to add with that, that represent Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is representative of all of the prophetic mode that we hear of. And when we think of Prophet Ibrahim or Prophet Esau, Prophet Musa, all of the prophets, prayers and peace be upon all of them, is represented in that of Prophet Muhammad, making it so that we can see ourselves and that we can expect from within ourselves what they carry or the character of each of those prophets. And definitely when we study the character of Prophet Muhammad, we will understand. We will understand. So praise be to Almighty God. That brings us right here to the doorway of greeting you with the greetings of peace, everyone, and Ramadan Mubarak. Praise be to Allah for those who are able to fast and truly fast with the thinking that I am doing it so that I can become better at whatever I'm striving for, but definitely as a servant of Almighty God. And so I say it that way because a servant of Almighty God is what we were created to be. To be a servant of Almighty God in service to humanity is the process of how we show our servitude or our servant self to the Almighty. So with that, it brings it right down to the basic structure of the human life. And so we ask the question, this is how everyone, I know last month we were not on for, we were on, but we were not on to discuss in detail the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiatives, the strategies and all. Now we're asking everyone as we perhaps we're thinking, well, when are we going to see something, some result of this 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiative? Well, it brings everyone back to the table. As we're now in conversation with and getting ready to put into print, being in conversation with Professor Aisha Mustafa, Joan Najila, and Mahdi Najila, Joan's husband, while we were in Barbados and on the cruise ship to the various islands out from Barbados. If there are any questions first, I'll entertain those, and then we can begin to share what the outline is that we have that you can expect to see in the Muslim Journal and throughout the country, the United States, and our connection with Barbados. That's 51 areas. We're looking at 50 states strong. If you keep that in mind, 50 states strong, and Barbados makes 51. And we're going to divvy up some important processes. So any questions first, any comments you'd like to share, we open the door for that. And we'll be referencing Surah 12 today as one of our presentations. Surah 12, Ayat 67. And so any questions before I go there to read?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Michael Hameen. Assessment tools. Anytime, you know, we have a plan, and this is an area that I'm not very good at that I'm working on, being more reflective and analytical in my thinking. But where are we in terms of our making assessments in terms of this? Has it been a year yet?
It's been 2 years exactly, Michael.
Okay. Well, where are we in terms of our assessment of the 2 years? And do we have a schedule in terms of the periodical assessments of where we are and the logistics in terms of continuing to move forward.
All right. And when you say assessment, assessing what has been discussed and determined, number one,
yes.
Right? Yes. What
yes.
has been discussed, everyone, too, is give homework to everyone to go through, go back, if you can, and listen to the thinking that was presented in the discussions on the every second Saturday that we came on from January 2021 up until January 2020 or February 2022. February 2022, 23, excuse me. Now, in listening to it, you may come away with a different determination, but the determination that we've come away with here, and I'll get into that as far as my going back and assessing everything and then looking at the human family and understanding the connections that Imam Warith Deen Muhammad Rahimahullah made, some of the suggestions he made, and at the same time looking at the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and peace be upon him, and the Abrahamic faith, really going back into the biblical studies as well, to truly not just put something up and say, okay, well, here's where the human family should go, or here's what the human family should direct its attention to. And then looking at the center or the core of who's presenting. And it is the Muslim within the human family. And I say it that way because the Muslim within the human family, whether you're Christian, Jews, what have you, or even not even declaring a faith, there's that Muslim in there so that the best of ourselves comes up in order to be that true servant of the Almighty. The Muslim has to step forward from within each person. And I pray you understand. That way, we are not looking at just the declaration of being Muslim, but when we speak to the human family, we have to see first the essence of what Almighty God created the human being to be and how that servant comes out so that we don't get it distorted, saying who is responsible to take that stand, and this is the stand we're taking to say that faith is the first thinking that we have to, faith is what came out in the discussion, that every human being has faith in something. How we are applying that faith or how we are connecting with faith has shown that we've gotten off the path, off the course. And for those who study the Quran, and read Surah 18, for me, it takes us all the time when we read it, it takes us down the road to see where we got off the course, we're supposed to meet that truth within ourselves that says we are being directed by the Creator, we are in connection with the Creator, we have a process that we're connected with. And the next step was prayer. Everyone came out to say, having a faith, and then saying that there's a belief system to maintain that faith. And then the next step was prayer. Everyone has a way of prayer. Even the person who's doing something terrible has a way of praying and asking, even in the midst of doing something wrong. But we're focusing on the Muslim in the human being, the servant in the human being that wants to be guided aright is the core ones that can take this stand and prayerfully erect the house again. And I'm speaking now to the Abrahamic faith to say, here we are. So faith, prayer, and then it goes on into how we conduct ourselves. Entering And as we talk about interfaith, I like to use the word E-N-T-E-R. Interfaith as a servant and develop a process of conducting ourselves. We can we cannot just go directly to, we can. I mean, everything is operating as we speak. But I'm referencing what do you call it, the monies and power, and say that that's the answer. That's the answer. But we're recommending to the human family, but those who want to see a difference in the life of the human being, the human family, any point in time in history, we can go back and reference that everyone had to step out on faith in that greater than themselves, having and having a belief system that connects with it. So, yes, sir.
I want to remember that, but we've got a caller. One dropped off. 347 is you. So want to engage. One of the callers dropped off.
Okay. All right. Please, by all means, and then we'll go to the surah. And then I will continue on, too, if you want the outline first before we go to the surah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Do you want to bring them in?
Yes, please.
Me or you?
Oh, I forgot I'm in the host seat. I have all my papers in front of me, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, okay. Let's see here. I'm working with three devices. If you're there, Michael, if you don't mind, please bring them in.
Okay, 347, 336, welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. In the house, then.
I didn't recognize the number.
Well, that may be a good thing. calling on the element of surprise and participation, number one. I was informed about this discussion taking place this morning a few days ago, and put it on my calendar to show up and participate. So I'm happy the program or the discussion has started, and sort of chomping at the bit for to hear from those who are listening in making a contribution as thought leaders in where we are taking this. I anticipate you sharing the agenda with us, what it is our scope to cover today in this discussion and progression of thinking and planning and evolving strategies together to guide us toward the destiny we're seeking as we talk about the 50-year plan. I do think it's important, as you were talking and framing it, and Brother Michael requesting that we give some attention to assessment, in moving forward, unifying our mind and our thinking, moving toward these goals that we seek, we look at the big picture of this. The previous program on AN360, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, discuss several pertinent ideas that have to be essential, included as essential parts of this discussion, basically in the business of finance and economy level. A lot of information was shared there. So what do we do in the process of moving forward with the faith and the prayer and the action component. I'm anticipating, Martha, that we will cover that as we go further in the discussion that we have in front of us. So I'm not going to preoccupy you with long-winded sharing. I'm listening for ways to interact with you that will progress us forward, feeling the movement. I have one question. You mentioned the concept of the 50 states plus one, and you mentioned Barbados. Those who are maybe not familiar with that progression, could you clarify what you mean by that? Is there a states, an entry campaign being formulated for the area of Barbados, or what is that in respect to? Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me go here, right where you brought everyone to faith, and then the love. I'm losing train of thought here. Faith, prayer, and then we may say charity, but zakat, or let's go to the action. Let's just say action, like you stated. Faith, prayer, and then the action, saying to the whole human family. And thank you, Mahasan, and everyone, please, by all means, I am putting things in an order in with due respect to all that I've listened to on the recordings and what I wrote down as everyone was speaking. And going back, it was uniformly put into a wow, it stood out so beautifully. So here we are 2 years later. And so I'm going to share part two from the Imam Warthy Muhammad. It's on our board as global Imam. It's about a 12-minute piece, too, that I share with everyone. But let's go to first the Surah 12, because I'm saying we're taking a stand. All right? So that's an affirmative action, but what stand, what does it suggest that the stand will look like? In anything, of course, we want to be informed, so we want to, before we go implementing, but we're at that implementation point. So we said that we're 50 states strong to have a base of where we start, so everyone's mind can begin to put a structure to what we're talking about. We can go globally, but we're going to think locally, and the 51 areas is what we're calling local, all right? And in the 51 areas, we made an assessment as well as now it goes to those who declare being Muslim and specifically in association with the leadership of Imam Warthy Muhammad, rahimahullah. They have to take some ownership, show some ownership to what we're doing. And this ownership includes just that, looking at the leadership of Imam Warthy Muhammad and saying that declaratively shows an open way for us to share with the human family that it has character, it has stability, because it is coming from Quran. And we're declaring as well that Quran, from the point of the Abrahamic faiths, that it is a representation of, and it is the revelation of Almighty God, but it is a representation of the three areas that Almighty God speaks about, the other revelations that came before it. This is very to me, I had to really not put me, but look at everything very strategically, and then at the same time, look at the importance of what the human family needs, not what we want or prefer. Oh, excuse me. Okay, we're in the midst of the 50-year human family strategic planning on air, and this is Latifa Hameen, everyone, calling in on another area here. But just hold one moment, if you don't mind, please. One quick moment.
So this this plan has an object of where we're going, and the plan is designed to make clear what approach we're going to make. Dr. Hameed Al-Amin, he's working with the Quranic Islamic education with a group of Clara Muhammad Memorial and Consortium members who are working to present Islamic education with the focus on the language and logic of Imam Muhammad. Dr. Hameed has introduced an idea called We Have a Documented Institutional Memory presented to us by Imam Muhammad. There are areas that he has touched upon. There are thousands upon thousands of pages of this documented institutional memory. And coming into leadership, he told us what our souls longing for participating in our community life development. Martha, are you back?
I'm back. Thank you so very, very much. You know, everyone understands that the CEO of AM360 didn't want to pass up. Maybe she had something very, which she did have something important to share. But praise be to Almighty God. All right. So we're wanting to make clear so that there aren't any gaps. Hello. Everyone, and please stop me if there are gaps, because we want, as this goes into documentation, I'm saying documentation, leading or guiding everyone through the process of what we are referring to as the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiatives. And when you ask, when someone asked the question too, they said 50 years. Was it some Michael? I think you said yes. You referenced that some things have happened or occurred in years further than 50 years back. We're saying we're looking 50 years back, 50 years forward. Now, anyone who brings forth something to say, I think the human family would benefit from looking at the 1930s or looking at the 1840s when Liberia was established from the United States as an example to see the freedom or free state for those who were enslaved, perhaps. Or we go to the 1500s, the 16th century, when a certain process took place of exploration, you know, throughout the globe. Those are, yes, and when we reference a period, we still look 50 years before that in order to give us some kind of a sense of what was happening. And how did we move forward? Now we have, in history, we can see what happened in a 50-50 process. So this is a process that can be used so that we can, going forward, that we'll continue to look 50-50. 50 back, 50 forward. Well, that's 100 years, correct? That's a century. And civilizations have occurred in the civil, just giving you an idea of the thinking. Civilizational turns have occurred. And I remember, well, not to get so much into the eye, because I do that a lot on my own, let's keep it connected here with the 50-50, all right? 50-year human family strategic planning references that. We couldn't get all of that in explanation in the title, but now when you see the 50, you understand that we're looking 50 back and 50 forward. Whatever point you want to reference and discuss it, then we can do that, and it can bring forward. How was, as we were discussing economics this morning, and what happened in a certain time period? When was there a flourishing time? When was there a famine kind of time? So praise be to Almighty God. I pray that's concrete enough for everyone as we continue on. All right. So taking a stand, indicating faith, prayer, and action. We're discussing about the 51 areas, thinking globally but working locally and making the United States and Barbados be the point of reference for right now. What are we looking at? Well, first, there has to be a strategic outline of what are we looking at. And so I said the immediate would be those in association with the leadership of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad. I believe you understand why, but I gave something to the character of what Imam Waris Deen Muhammad has brought, Rahimahullah Alay, what he has brought to the human family. I believe everyone remember that he referenced himself as the spokesman, and everybody together, the spokesman for
human salvation.
Right? So it being the spokesman for human salvation, we have to look at what was he presenting and how he presented it. So we have all of that as a reference. Anyone wanting to study what the Imam brought, Imam Waris Deen Muhammad, we can put that as a reference for anyone who wants to do the study. We're not here to repeat what he did, but from our bringing things forward, this is why we have come to the conclusion of using, as part of the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiative, the areas of governance, education, economics, and sociocultural. And the piece that I will play from the Imam, I believe it was 1996 that he referenced, he said 21 years of his leadership that we elected him, chose him as a leader. He references the sociability of mankind. That's one area. Yes?
Before you play that, I see another hand in the queue. Looks like
Bring him in.
And as I bring Imam Hamid in, I want to mention, I looked up this word clinical in reference to the experience that our ancestors have gone through, and even up until today, this mind that African Americans have experienced a clinical experiment designed to cause dysfunction in the vital areas of our life. We're discussing the vital areas of our life that we need to be aware of, and the meaning of clinical is efficient and unemotional, coldly detached, impersonal. So this kind of mindset is still in effect today, and it's affecting our relationship not only as African Americans but as Americans in general. You know, we're affected by this detachment from empathy, detachment from seeing our neighbors as neighbors, even family members as family members. You know, there's an oppressive environment that's been established. And I'll stop there. Imam Kareem.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Allah, Ramadan Mubarak. Praise be to Allah.
Ramadan Mubarak.
You know, when I hear the terminology, human family planning, let me give an example. The family out of Chicago, whose last name is Johnson. We don't have to ask which Johnson. We know that there is a family that headed up business life. The Johnson Publications, Johnson Beauty Supply, they are known for being business oriented. Now, someone planned that. You know, there are families that are known for being in the medical field. The father is a doctor. The mother is a doctor. The son and her daughters, they enter a medical school, and they are known. Their family is known as a family that is involved in health care, business, culture. So when we speak of planning, you know, two people can get married, and we applaud that. But I would suggest to them that all right, we are married now. What is the plan for our family? You know, what is the plan for our family? And they should come up with a plan or a theme upon which they shall base their family life on. So when I hear human family planning, the husband, the wife should come to an agreement as to what plan they have for their family. If we can come up with laudable human positions to be in based upon how we structure and educate and direct our families, I think we would that there is definitely a plus in that. If I mention Johnson a family, Chicago, everyone knows that is a family that is based on entrepreneurial pursuits. If there's a family here whose last name is Washington, their grandfather is a well-known physician here in St. Louis. His son followed in that thing. So if we can come up with a laudable pursuits for what we plan for our families, I think that would be a valuable addition to the family plan. What is the family plan? Okay, I'm married. Yeah, all right, now, all right, Kareem, what is your plan for our family? Me and my prospective wife should come to an agreement as to what plan we have for our family, you know. So I'll stop right there. I'm reducing it down to the husband, the wife, and their offspring. I'll stop right there. I hope what I have said has been helpful and beneficial. If you mention the Muhammad family in Chicago, you know what they stand for, human and social justice, the Muhammad family, you know? So I'll stop right there. And thank you for hearing me out. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Before you leave, Imam, I'm going to ask this question of you, that in reference to what you just said, the process that we're the strategy or the avenue we're taking is to the entire human family. So we're saying, and I was about to get to, as you mentioned that, I was mentioning governance, connecting with how Imam Worthy Muhammad Rahimullah Hulay, governance, education, economics, sociocultural. And in the piece that we'll play where he stresses about the sociability of mankind and how Almighty God created, just giving the human family some reference to connect with, saying that the human family was created to be a servant to the Creator, whether we like it, agree, or disagree, you know, whoever hears it, then how does that being a servant manifest itself? And it's manifested in that the human family, there's male and female. I was going to say what we have in common is population. We all, the earth, the globe is populated with people. And the people, then there's an exact route that we're to take. And that is male-female connection has to connect. And it brings to that family unit. When the male-female connects, then we're saying that from that, as you mentioned, husband, wife, offspring. When we check back, and everyone can look back into the revelations that they have, and they can see that it goes through, I'm just in the process of studying through the biblical text, going back into it, and you will see what's referenced there is the family of such and such was here, and the family connected and married so this from this family. And they connected, and they had a child. And it goes so on and on and on. So the root of what you just said, that is in the root of the human family. So the male, the female, and the becoming husband, wife, and offspring. So, yes, you're right there, and that brings us to connect with what the Imam is going to share about the sociability. We look at the social customs of the human family. And from that, then we discuss the education and the economics, perhaps, and the education and the governance of the human family, that every human family can, 50 years from now, if we structure it in that way, look at the structure of it, use it, apply it, and it will be benefiting to the human family as a whole. Alhamdulillah. So thank you for being specific in that manner.
The sociability, praise be to Allah. I'm glad you mentioned that, the sociability. That is connected to the contribution that whatever family it is, the contribution that a family brings to the community or the society in which they live. There are a myriad of valuable occupations, valuable mindsets, valuable contributions that the first social order can contribute to the value of the whole of humanity. But that family has to agree. You know what I'm saying? Have to agree that here is our aim. Praise be to Allah. Here is our aim as a family. Here is our contribution as a family. So that's, you know, we have families and they are a collection of individuals. But there isn't a family plan. There isn't a theme, an overarching theme that the family adheres to, an overarching discipline, an overarching aim that the family is aiming at. You find families that are involved in law, in lawyers. That is what they do. That is their contribution. Doctors, physicians, surgeons, educators. Some families are known for being active in the educational field. Their mother was a teacher. Their daughter became a teacher. Their son became a professor on a college campus. That is what that family is known for. And they are making a contribution, praise be to Almighty God, to the overall society. Not just have children and everyone just, you know, eat, sleep, and do what we normally do with no social connection, no social benefit coming from out of this family, coming from out of my family. Our focus is on health care. I'm a doctor. I'm planning my son's future. I want him to enter the medical school. I'm working to provide provisions for that. You know what I'm saying? So that is a focus. I don't care if we live in Russia, if we live in China. Matter of fact, the Chinese are very good at having a family plan. They focus on education. They definitely focus on education, and that is where they apply the greatest amount of pressure and preparation for that their children and themselves be educated. They are now somewhat leading the world in technological expertise, but that was planned. That was planned. And effort was put there. And now, look, we see the contributions that each family or those people are offering to the whole world. So it may sound small, but every contribution is a valuable addition to the benefit of the human being. I'll stop right there, my sister. Thank you. Wonderful idea. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Alaikum assalam. And what we're doing is we're definitely not minimizing that effort and that way of giving a structure to what we're offering to, number one, how to get back on track, inshallah. We obviously all recognize that the human family has gotten off a particular path. And that's why we want to reference Surah 12, Ayat 67, everyone. Where, as you were mentioning now, entering those doors, the various doors that we enter as a human family and with the pursuits, with the blessings that Almighty God has given to each of us to come with what we have. And so that comes with being the servant, understanding that we are responsible as a servant. This is why we started out first, that every individual is a servant of the Creator. That's a given. We are a servant. Whether we are performing as such is another thing, but we're not going to be declaring that we're all a servant. So we enter the faith that we say we referenced, and we're speaking to the Abrahamic faith as well. As we go here to Surah 12, I guess before I play the imam, let's read, inshallah, Surah 12. Ayat 67, everyone, let me get back to it here. And then as we are all connecting, let's see, Surah 12. I had it up and it went away from me. Okay, Surah 12. Okay, and it's entitled Yusuf. And it's Ayat 67. I'm going to read the Arabiya, and I think this is, you may have the Yusuf Ali. Let me get the actual book, itself. Surah 12. How about that? I turned right to it, the surah, and here's the page. Alhamdulillah. All right. So as I read it, then I'll reference Yusuf Ali's translation. All right, everyone. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال يا بني لا تدخلوا من باب وحيد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة وما أغني عنكم من الله من شيء إني سبحان الله إني الحكم إلا لله عليه توكلت وعليه فليتوكل المتوكلون. صدق الله العظيم. Forgive the errors, everyone. We seek refuge from Shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. And Yusuf Ali, again, ayat 67, verse 67. Further, he said, Qala, O my son, enter not all by one gate, enter you by different gates, not that I can profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, you ought against Allah, in parentheses, with my advice, close parentheses. None can command except Allah. On him do I put my trust, and let all that trust put their trust on Allah. Okay, I'm referencing that because of the contributions that we all will come out to spell out that we all have contributions to make and not enter through the same doors. The doors being that of what we have to contribute, what we've been blessed with as a source or resource, from the Creator, acknowledging that our gift of being in the medical, being in law, being in and what have you, it comes from the Creator. So acknowledging that brings it right back to faith and having a belief system that every human being needs to have, a belief system that keeps them connected to the faith in the Creator or the provider of all sustenance, of all things. I pray I have time now to play the Imam's offering here. We just entered the few seconds here left in the presentation, but let's go there. Again, I said it's from 1996. Okay, I pray we don't get shut off. But I have it to say that under the sociability, what we are sharing, we can share here is that the 50-50, I go to the outline of that, looking at each state. In each state, we know there is, and because I'm coming from the point of being the Muslim or sharing about the Muslim in everyone, so going specifically to the Muslim community now, asking the Muslim community to take a stand, definitely those in association with the leadership of Imam Warthi Muhammad, what do we have? What do we presently have that is of the governance, of the education? When Michael, you asked about the assessment, this is the assessment tool. What do we have as in reference to governance, education, economics, and sociocultural? And in that, what we have, then we look at economics. One thing that stands out to me as I assess what we've been connecting ourselves with is holding events, holding conventions, holding that which will bring in money, all right, but for the particular areas. But when we assess that, then we say, okay, the monies, yes, but when we, one thing to that is when we do meet, we are seeking the benefit of what others have, and that is in hotels, that is in foods, that is in what they have, what others have to offer. So standing up means, okay, make it as an importance to build hotels. How? Look at the structure, look at it as a grid in the United States, and have a hotel in the area where we have these conferences, these events, and began to contribute to our own benefit, to, I say our own, but contribute to the whole makeup of the family, the human family. So we build these hotels, build four, build eight, build however number we reference that we say, okay, we figure rather, that we say where the event's mostly held, we're asking ones to come to, then we can't be impatient. We have to extend some patience and build. You build the hotels, fine. Now we have something that we take a stand with and say, this is what we're offering, and it's open to everyone just as other hotels are. But we spend a lot of our wealth outward. So that's one of the first things. And looking at the transportation throughout the country, the transportation system, not redefining the transportation system, but we see a lot of ones with, Uber and Lyft and other systems being at the airport to cater to picking people up and all. A transportation system that caters to the movement of those who are connected and coming to the conventions as such, or coming to events and then having more events. If that's the first thing that pops out in my mind, and anyone else who can say that after making an assessment, if you've made an assessment of us as a whole, what do you see that we have? Press one and we'll open your mic. That's the first thing, is making hotels accessible and a transportation system. And it's not, the transportation system is not just for the event. You can go to other areas, but again, I'm speaking about the assessment. Any comments?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
In terms of our resources, I mentioned in the previous program some information that I was given by a brother, Townsend, who was a logistics person in the Air Force. And he shared with me the five areas that his job description was responsible for. And they are manpower, material, money, time, and space. And his job was to prioritize the utility, the movement, and the storage of those assets, the logistical assets. So if we're looking at the usage of our time in terms of a future, a 50-year human family future, do we start with the material assets such as brick and mortar places of meeting? Is that the best focus in terms of time, money, material, and manpower? Because we're addressing spaces, human movement in terms of transportation, and we see examples of these two things. But what do we need to bring forward in terms of utility? We've got we've got the project of Imam Pacha and his members, those who are following his leadership, and the Inkster project. Can we think in terms of utilizing properties like that for our further planning and development? There's a property in Fort Myers, Florida, where a Ramadan session is going to be taking place next week, next Saturday and Sunday. This is a property developed by Imam Haq, who is no longer in Florida. I understand he's in Richmond, Virginia now. But he left someone in charge of this facility that is going to be utilized for the Ramadan session. It's Muslim owned and operated, as I understand it.
Yes, sir. With the community.
Yes. So, you know, the most important and valuable asset that we have that we don't have control of, well, we have some control, but in terms of we don't know how much time we've got. You know, time is an asset, you know, and how do we best utilize our time and effort, prioritize our time. One thing that I've noticed, myself included, I have to be more conscious of staying on point, being as short in terms of words, not giving a khutbah, but being, you know, speaking to the point and not extending it, you know, with a lot of extraneous stuff or related stuff, but not necessarily necessary to the subject at hand, and, you know, utilizing our time in terms of moving forward is very important in my assessment, and being conscious of what is most important, you know, staying on point and that sort of thing. In communications, you know, you have people that's their job. If they're dealing with a political figure, they work with the political figure on being exact, right and exact, and staying on message, even though you might be directed towards this question or that question, staying on message. And this is important information for us to utilize, because many of us on the area, we don't have a whole lot of time. I'm what they call a senior citizen, so I don't have a lot of time, you know, and I have to be more aware of how I utilize my time in terms of my communication. I'll stop there.
All right.
How much time do we have? Speaking of time, how much time do we have?
Well, we're already past the time point of minutes. We're in the grace period. Let me share this then, everyone. As we said, the assessment, that's what we all need to do. The assessment, as you pointed out, Inkster, I'm going to add New Medina in Mississippi. It's for us. And then I know in Washington, D.C., you know, this is the CLARA being established. So we're looking at what is presently there and what will not take away funds when we're talking about money. What will not take away money? Do we need to reduce it to one day and not stay in the hotels, but we're spending monies on transportation, getting to and fro.
Yeah.
That's alhamdulillah. But the point is, where will we maximize our time and our monies, and with the focus of, as we know, the grace line, federal, the expectation of a credit union, other banking situations, I knew it was up in New Jersey and all. But, and now as we have the conventions can be, you know, dedicated to outlining this as the taking on the 50-year human family strategic planning if they choose to. But if
and
not, we have to
get the use of Zoom, those kind of operations in terms of cost and effectiveness.
Yes.
Utilize virtual, you know, that's and AM360 is one in terms of communicating what we're doing now. This is our
yes.
platform, AM360. So
yes, and these are avenues to get things done. And thank
yes.
you for that on the communication. The overall, if 50 years, whether I'm here or not, if ones are working on contributing to the most useful areas that people are contributing their dollars to, we know it is in the stress of those hotels, on the tourism, food included. So I'll put it on the tourism, all right, which hospitality I focus on it as that. Hospitality is the etiquette of humanity, being hospitable. That says a lot, come with a lot of character. So if we leave you with nothing else besides the faith, prayer, and action, hospitality, be more hospitable. Think of self being hospitable. Bring out the character of the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. And then dedicate our time to focusing on who is establishing what, whether it's in our area where we live or not. This is our contribution to the human family, is establish something that is going to be used by many. Alhamdulillah, the next time, inshallah, we will discuss the grid of the use of the interstate, how we use the interstate, how we when we go into business, are the businesses, the physical business structures, are they close to where people can have easy access to you or not? Be more engaged with the younger generation to assess that, to look at the grid of the United States and say, are we there and are we making ourselves more accessible so that the money flow, the economical means, we can become a true participant in the economic flow. Not necessarily looking at making investments and doing all that. That's definitely a given. But the economic flow of those going into business, be strategic about it, not just the, like you mentioned, Michael, the clinical, not being emotionally tied into something and not seeing where it is truly a combined benefit. We have to have those sacrifices. The sacrifices have been made. So any comments on that? We're saying look at the areas that are present. Inkster, when you say Fort Myers, but right now you go to Fort Myers to the Ramadan session. We can do an assessment ourselves. Ramadan sessions, the hotels are $170. No, $190, I think it is, on up. So that $200 going out, getting a benefit by going to the session, but $200 is going out. $200 for one night, two nights, then that's $400. Then we go to any other convention, then what's the hotel prices? What's the food prices? And are we contributing to the food prices? So Imam Wali Ayub Bilal will be coming forth, I believe, in July. We'll connect with him more as he will come prayerfully to contribute to the 50-year human family strategic planning dynamics, the initiatives coming out from what he has to offer, Halal Industries, and asking ones to come together with the mindset that you discuss these ways and means. That will be out from that. So that's one of the strategies, is the whole think tank session that can get things done. I believe Professor, you can answer this, his book, Professor Rabbani, his book that he's developed based on a process. Right? Is he still? Are you still with us, Professor Rabbani Muhammad?
No, he's not.
He's not, okay. But I think he's made mention about his book developing something from A to Z, the structure of strategic planning. So those are things that we want to put in concrete process of use. Likewise with Imam Shabazz, I say Imam, yes, Imam Shabazz, who's been on Khalida's presentation hour, has, you know, history connected with ways and means. So all of these, now when we direct things into a particular area and we not try to settle it ourselves individually while we are discussing, now we can point our attention to those areas and expect something from it. That includes CWSC, what our efforts are, contributing to the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning. The studies that we're doing, myself individually, is it taking us to the area that we're most passionate about? Where's our own passion? And are we directing our energies to those particular areas? You know, only we can answer that. So what we will be putting into the Muslim Journal is this information that we discussed today. Yes.
In terms of putting it into the journal, this is something that I'm going to be giving a lot of attention to. A practical strategy Imam Muhammad gave us, that whenever we meet in groups, that we take the time in whatever that scheduled time is, or maybe even outside of that scheduled time, if it permits, to formulate ourselves in groups. Business people come together, educators, cultural expression makers, that the Imam instructed us that when we meet on an occasion, that we can best utilize that time by having that kind of structured, what do you call it when you break off type of sessions, where business people, governmental people and whatnot can meet, get to know one another, and strategize. If we formulate that habit, and I hope this goes into the Muslim Journal, if we formulate that habit, that would, in terms of the utility of our time, our energies, and our monies, you know, in terms of the travel, that would be the best usage, that form ourselves, that we're going to have break-off meetings where educators can meet, where governmental people can meet, you know, and that would be, I mean, it's an excellent idea, but it's gone right over our heads, in my opinion. Thank you.
Okay, you mean in the previous workshops that we've held throughout the country?
Not just workshops, but gatherings. Anytime we gather
for
a social event, a Ramadan session, you know, even though it's going to be addressing what they call the four birds. And I remind myself as well as others that those four birds were connected with mountains, which has to do with establishment, you know, not just aspiration. So the strategy that the Imam gave us was, what if it's 3 hours, we take 15 minutes, a half an hour, for people of like interests, educators get together, governmental officials types get together, cultural leaders get together and form the habit. This has to become a habit with us for the best utility of our time and energy.
Okay. And then the outcome from that is what we expect to derive from those gatherings, that is not repeated every time. It's repeated, but it's not repeated with just like a newness each time. That every meeting is designated to come away, that we can designate something to come away with, whether it's, yes, this physical structure that we're living in. As I said, I was going to indicate population, the grid of the United States, and how we are now, and this is specifics now, Michael, going to making phone calls to the particular masajis throughout the country, God willing, sending a letter of confirmation of what we discussed, emailing to confirm that, and then have an in-person meeting. And that in-person meeting, it will be specifically for targeting what's going to come out of that, what's in the northeast, what's in the southeast, what's in the northwest, and what's in the southwest, what's in the central. Looking at it that way, now we have a focus on what's being developed. We know that there are different different things are accessible in the east that's not accessible in the west, in the central of the United States that's not accessible in the south. So when we discuss it that way with governance, education, economics, and then have those six or whatever, eight areas come together by way of Zoom and continue with the intent to make a contribution out from the meeting. Make it in 5 years. 5 years we'll have 30 hotels. I don't know. Five years we'll have such and such and such. Make some kind of reasonable expectation come out from our meetings, rather than just we competing with having conventions to personally bring in dollars. I say personally because I'm saying the masjid becomes a personal effort, or the like the state of Florida. State of Florida, we have some directives that we want to meet, and we are looking at the challenge of having monies there for once when they get older from the our religious community, our faith community. So I'm saying Muslim. So to have those here in the state of Florida retire with a good size of income that they can depend on, or monies that they can depend on. I'm not calling it Social Security, but you get the idea. If that's one's effort, then so be it. But each state now has to be connected. The imams in each state have to be connected, those who are willing, not coming under an umbrella of any sort, but connect, communicate, go through the same process, make phone calls to one another, send a letter of confirmation of what you're working on and you're agreeing upon, and email one another on a consistent basis, and then have in-person meetings. From that, you're developing, you're committing to be consistent, but you're committing to making your connection and having communication and collaborating on something. When we do this state by state, now we can see the efforts of the governance, the education, the economics, and the sociocultural pieces coming together, inshallah, and beginning to exemplify in the communities, the neighborhoods of because it was brought to my attention the Spanish. You can go to a community, you can see the Spanish efforts there. You can go to another community, you can see the Greek by just the street names in and of itself. So if the state imams, leaders, come together to communicate with one another, and then the areas they're in their cities, began to identify a place, a location where you're going to begin to go to address this ownership kind of appearance, at least in your area. So, inshallah, that's something that the Area Muslim Association is taking on, inshallah, as well.
And we can have the initial face-to-face meetings, identify a facilitator, collect the names, not just of the imams, but collect the names of the educators, of the cultural expression people. And then you can have meetings by way of conference or Zoom calls, you know, by way of the technology. You know, you can invite others who were not at the meeting to these conference calls and identify critical issues within
that expression of education or culture, what critical issues, what identify an approach to these issues, you know, take sure of, you know, and that's the purpose of all of this, to make sure in terms of having leadership come forward that may have been in the background, may have been in the back, but have them come forward to help the quote unquote leadership in out in front, you know, because it's, look, we're not going to ever get to heaven with just imams and political leaders, you know, leading the way. We got to have cultural leaders being responsible for the cultural expressions and giving our children healthy cultural activities. The same with education,
right,
and the other.
And I mentioned the imams because of the focus on going on into the government, not just them, but definitely have them identify themselves in their state. Because so often we're reaching out for ones to share, you know, leadership wise, and we reach across the state. And so if there's a deficit in the state information wise, sharing and understanding the Abrahamic faith or understanding Quran and the deliverance that the human family is expecting. I'm saying take a stand. We're taking a stand to erect the house, and since we declare being Muslim, then help the Muslim come out of everyone else. It will come up, inshallah. So when we look at the prison services or prison system and reforming it, another person said, his reform includes return to lynching as a part of the sentence that the judges can direct to have done. So rather than get bogged down with complaining about him making that suggestion, we have to erect the consciousness of everyone, inshallah. But definitely during Ramadan, 9 months into the calendar year, we give ourselves to it, 9 months something will be delivered, inshallah. So, yes, I'm writing out everything that you're sharing here, and we, from the imams, I'm saying definitely connect, and then as well as the leaders in those areas, the most resourceful persons in the areas of education, economics, governance, and sociocultural, inshallah. But at the same time, we have to walk and chew gum. Same time, we can't put down one thing of the economic means, of the understanding of zakat. That has to be in the journal as well as we go along. Those, the five areas, the pillars that we live by, that we act upon. So, again, walk and chew gum. But here's some directives, inshallah, that we can connect with. And I know the stimulus here in Florida, I know the persons that you and I are here in Florida, the persons that are engaged, and so Florida can be used as a model, inshallah. But I'm gonna try and play this here piece with the imam. I know we're at the time, but if you hear some of it, okay, everyone, is that all right with you?
Please.
Okay, alhamdulillah. This is part four, and it's under global education, Michael, if you ever look up on it.
God has made us spiritual beings, but our life is to be realized and experienced, and it is to grow and reach its destiny upon the appreciation for man as a social creature and for society as a social community. A social community. If we make any other feature more important than that feature for society, we will lose the good society that God wants us to have. If we become more political as a community than social as a community, we will spoil the chances for us to have good, excellent community life. If we become more commercial, more materialistic, we lose it. So the social appreciation Man as a social community must be appreciated more than man as a political community, or man as a material community, or a capitalistic community, or business community. We can never make these products of the social community more important than the mother. The mother who birthed these other products. It is the social community that birthed the business community. It is the social community that birthed the political community. The social community that birthed the academic community, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The industrial community. The social community gives birth to all those other communities. It is the mother of communities. So that's why God wants us to understand that when he said he made Adam, and he made Adam the one type, one human type, and made from Adam his mate, and he's made from them many men and women and nations to populate this whole globe. God is telling us that he intended for us to be a social community. This relationship socially binds us to each other, doesn't it? It binds us socially. But the same man that God created to be the father, the progenitor of a social community, a global social community, he also makes him, in time, he makes him the political leader for that social community. It is a requirement for American government, American system, for American society, that the leaders, the system, works hard to keep the citizenry informed. And if they're not informed, then the government doesn't function well. So we believe in government by an informed majority. Government by an informed majority. Now, we belong to the community of Muslims. We belong to Islam. We should apply this to ourselves. If we want a thriving community, a sound, strong, thriving community that can function very well and meet the challenges from outside, then we should be working ourselves to have an informed majority Muslim.
Right. That's right.
But don't be satisfied with just your imam knowing how to read the Quran.
Right.
Don't be satisfied with just your imam knowing what is Islamic life.
Right.
Knowing what is Islam and not Islam.
Right.
You make it your business to know. This religion comes to place upon each and every adult, sane male and female, responsibility for the government of Islam.
Allahu Akbar.
Responsibility for the government of Islam.
Allahu Akbar.
And that's what makes Islamic democracy, if we can use that term, democracy. That's what makes Islamic Shura, Islamic democracy a reality.
Right.
When we promote in our members appreciation for their honor that God paid to them.
That's right.
God has honored each and every one of us as being qualified to uphold the government of Islam.
That's right.
And every Muslim is supposed to be able to lead himself or herself in prayer. Every Muslim is supposed to read the Quran, the constitution for the Islamic society.
Right.
Every Muslim is supposed to read the Quran, I repeat, the constitution for the Islamic society.
Right.
Every Muslim is to read it and become familiar with it.
Right.
So that if the imam takes you that way,
right,
or takes you to the haram,
right,
or takes you to the liquors or to the whiskey,
right,
or takes you to the gambling or to something else, adultery or to drugs, And create some kind of rationale to pull the wool over your eyes,
right,
you know the Quran yourself, you know the Islamic law yourself, you read the Quran yourself, you know the constitution for the Islamic state yourself, you will say, wait a minute, brother imam, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, hold up to there.
Yeah. That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Yes. So sometimes we want more than we are prepared for.
Go ahead, brother.
That's right.
In these United States,
that's right,
black man, I want freedom.
There he is.
White man give him freedom,
yeah,
the guy go and lose his idea of freedom.
Right.
He forget what freedom was. I want freedom. 100 years telling the white man, we want freedom.
Right.
We got to be free.
Right.
white man finally make it possible. Right. Now you're free.
Right.
Then he lose the idea of freedom.
Right.
He go and enslave himself. He does it himself.
Right.
He buy a car that he can never pay for.
Right.
He take on more women than he can ever afford.
Right.
And pretty soon, he's in the mental institution. Locked himself up. Yes. And I think that's the majority of us African Americans. That's always crying for more and more freedom. The man that appreciates freedom, he doesn't like to be asking people for it that much. He wants to get it on his own. And he'll only ask for it when somebody's interfering with his own program for getting himself freedom.
Right.
Say, hey, don't mess with my thing, man.
Right.
This is my freedom thing.
Right.
I want freedom.
Right.
I'll die for freedom.
That's right.
But that guy that's just sitting back, laying back, leaning against the building with a bottle in his hand. Man, I want freedom, man. Why they got to let me go, man? He already let you go. That's how come you're in the condition you're in. He let you go. So let Islam take you back. Just the white man let you go. Praise be to Allah. Now, Islam, in my conclusion, Islam is a global ideology. It is a global mission. Islam, a global ideology, an ideology for the betterment of the globe. And it is a global mission. It is a dawah for all people, for all communities on this earth. That's what Islam is. And Islam has its own methodology. Its aim is peace and justice for man on this earth. That's its aim. And it has its own methodology. If you study my preaching, how I've been preaching for the last 20 or 24 years, 21 years or more, because actually I was preaching about 2 years or more before I came officially into the leadership. If you study how I've been preaching, you will see that I've kept one spirit. I might have evidenced many spirits. I've kept one direction. I might have evidenced many directions. I might have left, changed some of the directions that I evidenced. I might have dropped off some of the spirits that I took on. But I have been consistently following one spirit and one direction. It's bringing you out of the narrow into the big, out of the cheap into the rich, huh? Out of the small into the great, huh? Yes. Out of racism into humanity. Yes. And now we're finally reaching the completion of the methodology. The last step is to get your cooperation behind the best of your leaders to establish community life and establish your ability to manage community life without white man, black man, yellow man, or anybody coming from outside, from Africa or Asia or any place else, coming from outside to show you how to do it or to go with you hand in hand all the way until it's realized. No, we are not little children. We don't need nobody, no other race from the outside coming to take us by the hand to show us how we are to establish neighborhoods and manage our neighborhoods ourselves. We're going to do it ourselves. We're going to have Muslim neighborhoods managed by African-American Muslims in our association. In our association. We are going to have Muslim neighborhoods tied into the local government,
right,
working with the local government,
right, uh-huh,
protecting our interests and contributing support to the general interest. We're going to have neighborhoods, Muslim neighborhoods, working with the state, city and the state. Muslim neighborhoods with representatives going from our neighborhood to see the president, to talk with people at the State Department, talk to them about trade and imports and exports. We're going to manage our own life. We're going to be men responsible for community life. We're going to have a bigger woman than the woman that I sleep with in the bed in my small house. We're going to have a big woman, the whole neighborhood, the whole town. Oh, yes. The whole town going to be our woman. Yes. Oh, man, I can see it now. I'm anxious to jump into bed with my new woman. The whole town is going to be my woman. And we are going to have intercourse with our town and produce a better generation for the next. Ah, praise be to Allah. That's what we're going to do.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Yes, we're going to do it. And we don't need any exaggerated lies about our reality to do it. God has given us the plain common sense truth. God has created us with the ability to manage not only our life, but the whole earth if we serve him. Thank you very much, and we pray to God always for mercy, forgiveness, and guidance. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah, I pray you can see, praise be to Allah, all the presentations that Imam made, and perhaps I was listening to another way, he definitely spoke to the social, the various areas, but and that you could see as well how we come away with the human family and the responsibility that the Muslim in not just declared, but Muslim in the human being, period, has to be that which rises to the top. But how it gets influenced is through those who are already willing and capable of being such. Praise be to Almighty God. As I kept having to remind myself, it's one thing to say I have the Quran or I'm reading Quran, but that means nothing if I'm not able to reflect it in the structure of the life and connect with those who are taking a stand. So, alhamdulillah, any comments before we get ended here?
Yes.
Praise be to Allah, we managed to get that in. Any
praise
comments?
Praise be to Allah. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I noticed he was speaking to the interest, those areas beyond politics. And as I mentioned, he had stated that we're not going to get into the life that we want with just imams and political figures.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about the mother, the social community, the social
mm-hmm.
society, and the social creature. So he was addressing those four birds and their establishment, but from another angle, a more subtle, so to speak. And but progenitors, he later mentioned progenitors, and I was looking that word up. I had it. Progenitor. A person or thing from which a animal or plant is descended or originated. Again, a person who originates an artistic, political, or intellectual movement. And it's dealing with the, in my opinion, the men that are willing to sacrifice their lives, energies, and time, resources to establish this mother, which he identified as social community. And he also identified it as a big wife.
Yes.
You know, yes. A big wife. Some of our brothers took off on the tip, I got a right to a second wife. And he talked about how that right that they're expressing can lead them to the crazy house. You know, you're trying
mm-hmm.
to get
you're trying to get a second wife, and the first one leaves you. Now you're after a first wife, and you know, it just goes on and on until you go crazy, you know, because there's certain disciplines that you have to have to qualify for more than one wife. You know, there's certain disciplines in terms of your resources, you know, your time given, and Prophet Muhammad represented all of that to us, you know. But it's better, in my opinion, to go after this big wife, the community.
Yes. So that's where we are. Praise be to Allah. We've come to a definite area to present and to work out from, and there's room for everyone. Everyone under their passion, with their passion in the areas that they want to marry themselves to. And at the same time, like I said, we have to chew gum, walk and chew gum. At the same time, no one needs to stop what they're doing, but be more definitive in how you're going to do it. More intentional, because if it's about establishing or having wealth, which is necessary for the zakat, then if that's necessary, then we have to look at where the excess is, where we're being excessive, or where we're being what's another word, where you're losing, is going out the window. In other words, the money is going out into a waste. That's the word. Not being wasteful. So praise be to Almighty God. I know, you know, personally, individually, I can curb dollars here and there. But the dollars have to be spent, not just because someone say, well, we're having this function and we want your dollars. No. It has to be with a connected purpose. We're having this convention because this convention is going to further connect us to exploring the science of such and such, or helping the younger generation know more about technology. We're having this convention because it's going out, and the money is going to, part of it is going to be contributed to this area. When we speak in that term, now it becomes more united, and our efforts become more united. So, Mahasan, if you recall, we were speaking, I used your word yesterday, Mahasan, interdependent. The word, the interdependence, that we see ourselves as being interdependent. We could keep our autonomy of how we structure ourselves individually, what we're working on, and do that. But there's an overall focus that we have to have as well. So individually, and then community. So alhamdulillah, I pray that everyone, when you listen back to this presentation, inshallah, that you can connect and become a part of, inshallah. Mahasan, any comments? Kareem, anyone else who's on? And Michael, if you do too, before, I think it's going to let us go to the minute before the hour. That's when it will shut us off.
I'm seeing 9 minutes, 43 seconds, 41 seconds.
Oh.
The clock
I don't know if you can hear me.
I think that's 9 minutes over the time. I don't know. Okay. It's counting down for us, huh?
It's counting down. 9 minutes.
Yeah, that will take us right to the 9 minutes, to the minute, to the hour. Okay, so comments. Thank you, Michael. Kareem, your mic isn't open, but you can press 1 if you choose to make any comments. Mahasan, are you present?
I've tried. Has my mic open?
Yes.
Yeah, your mic is open, dear.
Oh, okay. I couldn't give any feedback on this side. Very, very beautiful synopsis and remarks by Imam W.D. Muhammad, reiterating again the purpose and the idea and design behind his leadership and his direction for us. and we call it hitting the ground running, hitting the floor running, because we've endowed, as our Constitution said, with certain capacities. And these capacities are inalienable. They cannot be taken away, taken back, because they emanate and came from our Creator. So they are a part and exemplify the human content, that original nature that was structured on the process of accomplishment. We weren't given the kind of development capacities, benefits, skills, talents, so we could just, I call it in these days, pop your collar, you know, just talk about what it is that you have, and that being the structure of your content. No, it's for the purpose of proactivity, production, reproduction. And it does require us to come together, unify in some aspect of shura, and all that that word, the Arabic word of mutual consultation, shura, Vainahon, to develop an approach and a process. That's how things get done. You mentioned the Clara Project in Washington, D.C., and there are many, many others that have exemplified and taken this to heart and been very productive in advancing the cause of community life, right? Meeting all the needs that the community has. So this is the framework by which we have to structure, approach the development of a 50-year plan. And that plan is based on the goals of accomplishment and what the outcomes are that we seek to achieve and what those best practices are that will define our pathway of success and pathway to victory. Best practices. And, of course, what is the manual of best practices? It is the Quran. The guidance, alhamdulillah. And so, mashallah, I'm going to stop there. We're limited in time, but I'll be eager to address the next level of strategic thinking, because without strategic thinking, there can be no strategic planning.
Alhamdulillah. But we do intend to... Again, this is the month that we intended to, I think it was March or April, that we intended to make our first entry into the Muslim Journal, so that the shura that has occurred from 2021, January 2021, ongoing for 2 years, alhamdulillah, we're here at the gate now. Thank you, my husband. Thank you. We're in this together.
Martha,
yes?
I want to just interject something you said, and it occurred to me some time ago in this broadcast. January 21, 2021 was when this awful effort at a homegrown coup occurred in terms of our government, the assault on our government.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And simultaneously, that was the beginning date of this perception of a 50-year strategic plan for the future. Simultaneously, the same month as that undermining plan occurred to take America down and all of its democratic representation, what was born was not only a vision for the future, but the capacity to put that into a working structure and progress toward it. So there's no power except the power of Allah. There is no scheme that his plan doesn't take preference over, right? And he doesn't, he's not a reactive God. He doesn't have to wait until somebody threatens his sovereignty in order to have a plan. That's not the kind of plan we're talking about. We're talking about a universal construct of a plan for the advancement of what and caregiving of what he created. And that can't be stopped by anyone. That's why when Imam Muhammad said, we cannot stop now. We're a part of this progression. And we have to be in charge of our own efforts to be consistent, interdependent, and consistent moving forward. I'll stop right there.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for bringing that out. Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. Okay, Imam Kareem Hamid.
His mic is open.
Okay, he may not be available. Okay. Everyone, let's see who else is on. Any comments you want to share? Your mic is open, 321-917, Imam.
Imam DeLacy.
Yes, Imam DeLacy. Any comments? Yes.
Your mic is open.
Okay. He may be in with something else going on. But praise be to Almighty God, everyone. We are so thankful that we're shouldering, is that a word? Yes, shouldering this together. We're putting our what we have to offer out and making it, making ourselves useful. That's about as plain as we can. Yes, sir.
I'm saying we got 1 minute.
Yes, probably a few seconds left there. Okay, close out with the prayer. Michael, please.
Oh, Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge and none can judge against you. And those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Ameen.
Ameen. Ghulam. All right, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak. Go forth.
Ramadan Mubarak. Alaykum assalam. Ghulam.
I want to go out to they say goodbye. Alhamdulillah. Let's see if we can get that music in. It says TH. I guess not. So we've got to be thankful, everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.